This is something that me and my family went through, and we'll probably still be dealing with it for a while. I apologize because it's a long story, but I just need to say it from the beginning so you guys can see how things slowly started to unfold. I wanted to get this story out there as a way to relieve myself and also warn other people, especially if they live in Texas. My husband and I have a small business construction company. In the last week of May, we were contacted by a man stating that he had just purchased a house and he wanted to renovate a few things outside the home. We never met with the man in person. Originally, he was just contacting us by text. He informed us that we had permission to go look at the home, take measurements, and whatever else we needed to give him an estimate on the job. When we arrived at the house, it was completely empty, and it still had a for sale sign in the front yard. I remember first thinking that it was weird that the sign didn't have the sold announcement on it like other homes do whenever they've been sold. The sign also caught my attention because of the unusual last name the realtor had. It stuck to me, and this would later on become useful. About a day or so after, we had contacted the man and informed him how much the renovations would be. After a while, he actually called us, negotiated the price, and he asked when we could start. We told him that we had an open schedule and we could start immediately. He said that was great, but that he was out of town at the moment, and he wouldn't be back until the following week. We told him that was fine and that we could do the job and he could just pay us once he arrived. We've done this before with a lot of our clients. This is when things started to get odd. At least that was the feeling that I started getting. He insisted that he would pay us first before we even did the job. He started asking if we took card payment, and if we did, what service we used. He seemed a little too excited and eager to know if we had used or had an online card payment method. I responded by saying that no, we only took cash or checks, and that we're really sorry for the inconvenience. I noticed his tone getting back to normal when I told him this. He said that he understood and that he would be paying with a check. Then he asked if I could email him the job agreement for him to sign and he would be mailing the check to us. I want to point out that this man had a very obvious accent. I had a teacher in high school with the same accent, and he was from South Africa. So I made the assumption that this man was from there too, and had an idea of what he looked like. Once I sent the agreement and he returned it signed, I noticed that he wrote the date differently than how people are accustomed to here. The position of the month and day were backwards. I know that in other countries this is how they write it down, so this just confirmed my more suspicions of him not originally being from here. Shortly after, he then called me telling me that he sent back the agreement and he asked if I had received it. I told him that I did and that we would just wait for the check to arrive so we can proceed with the job. He then starts telling me all about his personal life, that he had a sick wife in the hospital fighting cancer, and that's why he was out of town with his kids to support her in the treatment. He gets my sympathy, and then he starts asking me out of nowhere if I can do him a big favor. This caught me off guard, but I thought I should at least hear him out and ask what type of favor. Now, because of his accent and how he pronounced some words, I didn't fully understand him, but what I basically understood is that he wanted me to make a payment for him to the real estate company for the closing of the house. He said that he was going to send a check with the amount we agreed on for the job, and in that same check include the money that he needed to pay the realtors. This was very odd to me because this man doesn't know us and we don't know him, so why would he even trust us with his money like that? I mentioned how I didn't feel comfortable handling the money that was not meant for our business, and that he could just mail the check to the realtors just how he's mailing the check to us. He proceeded to brush off my comment and tell me, "No, I'll just send the check to you. Just deposit it and make the payment for me." I reverted back by telling him no, that I'm sorry, but we can't do that. He kept insisting and bringing the topic about his sick wife up again, and also how he's been struggling with her and his kids and couldn't really do anything because of them. I'll admit it, my feelings got the best of me. So I told him the most we could do for him is to send the check addressed to the realtor company, and that we can meet them at the house when we were working on it and then give it to them, or we could leave it around the house for them to pick up. He got upset at the suggestion, then told me, "No, I'll just send the money together addressed to your company and then you can do the payment for me." I again told him how uncomfortable this made me, and he responded back with an obviously annoyed tone, saying, "I must send the money to you. All you have to do is deposit the check, take the money out, and make the payment for me. I don't see what the problem is here." I didn't like where this conversation was heading, so I just told him I'd have to think about it and I'll let him know. I really just said this to hang up on him and to try and process what this man was wanting me to do. I then called my husband, who is currently working, and I told him what had happened. Well, as you can imagine, he had the same feelings as me about it, and how no one in their right mind would just trust strangers to handle their money. He then joked about what if it's not even the man's house and he's just a scammer. This got us thinking, and he asked me how we could verify if this man actually indeed bought the house. That's when I remembered the realtor's sign and her last name. I told my husband I could just Google the house address and then look for the realtor's info. I did exactly that and then called her to explain the situation to her. She was shocked that someone was claiming that they had purchased the house since it was still listed for sale. She said that maybe it was the owner that had contacted us, but that she doesn't have the owner's information and that she would have to speak to her boss about it. She got my information as well as the man's name, and then said she'll get back to me. She also thanked me for bringing this to their attention. During my conversation with the realtor, the man had actually called me several times and sent a few texts. What I had noticed about the way this man texted was that when writing the word I, instead of the I being capitalized, it would be lowercase. He would also overspace between words. One time he wrote a word spaced three times and then put a comma spaced several times again, then continued writing. This led me to believe that he was probably an older person who wasn't tech savvy, since my dad, who was in his 50s, actually texts in a similar way. I returned his calls, and he immediately started saying,
"Okay, so I'm sending you the check for you to do the job and make the payment for me. Expect it in a few days."
He was telling me this like I had agreed to proceed with his plan. I knew that he wasn't going to take no for an answer, so I decided to follow his game, for lack of a better word. But I decided it was going to be done under my own terms, so I told him somewhat of a lie. I explained to him how our company's bank account is very restricted, and that the bank locks the account when transitioning purchases that are not work-related. That I could help him make his payment only if he had sent that money on a separate check addressed to me for my personal account. He obviously enjoyed that I had finally agreed to help him out, and he said that he agreed with what I asked for. He was very happy, and he started throwing praises like, "God bless you, God will reward you for helping me," and things like that. He then texted me, basically summarizing what we had just spoken about, telling me how he's going to send one check for the amount we agreed on for the renovations, and then another check with my name in it for the payment. I was shocked at the amount he was going to send on the separate check. He said he was going to make it for $6,700. $6,500 for the payment, and he added an extra $200 for me as gratitude, which was for me agreeing to help him. With my suspicions that this man was wanting me to do something possibly illegal, I shortly after got a call from a number that I didn't recognize, and it turned out to be the owner of the house. She told me how the realtor agency contacting her explaining what I had told them. She asked me who contacted us and what they wanted us to do to her home. I then told her everything from the start, and she told me she had no idea who this man was. She asked me if I could send her all of his information so she could get to the bottom of this. She sounded obviously annoyed, but I couldn't blame her, because if I was in her situation, I too would be concerned about someone doing something to my home as well. I brought my husband up to date with what happened, and he thought this was very strange. He said that we'll just have to wait and see what the owner of the house finds out before we actually do anything. We didn't hear anything from this man for over a week, and we thought that maybe the homeowner had confronted him and perhaps put him in his place. We were very wrong, because after some time, this man had contacted us yet again. He was apologizing, saying that he hadn't been able to do anything or contact us regarding the house because his wife had gotten very ill and he was really dealing with her situation. I kind of just follow along with whatever he was telling me, but I knew in my mind that this man was indeed lying to us. He then informed me that he had mailed in the checks already, and that we should expect them the following Monday. I kept the conversation short, and I told him that was fine and that I'll let him know once we received them. I told my husband about it, and he told me to just ignore his calls, and if he indeed sent a check to us, that we would just send it back and not have anything to do with this man anymore. Well, Monday came, and he had started texting me saying that the post office had sent him a message saying that the check was supposed to arrive today, and to please call him as soon as we receive it. I ignored his texts and his calls, but all day he just kept on calling. I also noticed that I was also getting calls from two different numbers that I hadn't yet seen before, suspecting that it was probably him. I didn't answer the calls and waited to see if they would leave a voicemail. He started to get desperate, or at least that's what I could tell by his text. At some point, one of the two unknown numbers had sent me a text as well. The person was stating that it was this man's attorney, and he was asking why I was acting suspicious, and that he and his client had been trying to contact me all day, and that I wasn't responding to them. I kind of laughed it out, and I knew that it was the same man that had originally contacted us just based on how the text was written. Later in the day, I had heard the mailman pass by, and I saw that he was dropping off our mail at our mailbox. I went to retrieve the mail, and I saw that indeed there was an overnight delivery envelope addressed to me. I was going to originally return the envelope with no questions asked, just like my husband had told me. But curiosity got the best of me, and I decided to open the envelope to see what was inside of it. Inside there was a check in there, but there was only one check, and it was the one that was going to be addressed to my name with the total amount that the man wanted me to make the payment for him. I noticed that this check had a distinguished name on it. It was from a law firm office. I decided to Google the law firm's name, and I saw that their office was here in Texas in a small town close to Austin. I decided to contact their office, but they had closed already, and I kept on getting their voicemail. I decided to look for another way to contact them through their website, and I saw that they had an email. I had sent them an email explaining everything that had happened so far with this man, and how I happened to get possession of one of their checks. I also sent them a picture of the check and asked if they had any idea of how this man could have obtained this check from them. I also decided to contact my local police department to explain to the operator my situation, and I asked if there was anything I could do about it. She told me that I could either come in or they could send in one of their officers to me so I could explain everything to them so that there would be an open case on it. I agreed to one of their officers coming out to see me and opening up a case with them. When the police officer arrived, I explained everything to him. I showed him the text messages and emails that we had exchanged with this man. I even showed him a picture of the supposed driver's license that this man sent with the job agreement, which said it was from the state of North Carolina. The officer took a picture of the driver's license and he told me to wait for him while he ran to his patrol car to do a background check on the license. When the officer came back, he was actually laughing under his breath. He said that the ID didn't belong to this man, that it didn't even belong to a man at all, that it was the ID of a woman in North Carolina. When I then showed the officer the check that the man had sent us, he was a bit shocked because the check looked legit. It had a watermark and everything to check for tampering. He confiscated the check, and he said that the police would be contacting the law firm just to see if the check I had obtained was not stolen. The following day, the law firm had contacted me, and they said that yes, that they had been experiencing many frauds with the account the check was listed to, that they had locked access to the account from that specific checkbook. They thanked me, and they said they were very grateful that I brought this to their attention, that if there was anything else that I knew or found out, to please send it to their direction. So for the next few days, I just kept getting more calls from this man from different random numbers. He had also texted me many times and even started emailing me. I had been ignoring him for the past few days until I decided to get to the bottom of this and find out exactly what this man's purpose was. I emailed him back apologizing, making up a story saying that we had gone on a family trip to another country and that we currently didn't have any cell service, that I recently just checked my email and saw that he had been trying to contact us. After a few hours, he responded, saying how we had scared him by not responding to him, but that he was very thankful that I had reached out to him to clear everything up. I told him that we would be returning home on a specific date, and that I would call him once I was ready to proceed with everything. He agreed, and he said that he'll just wait to hear from us. So the date arrives that I told him, and I emailed him saying that I was very sorry, but that we were having trouble reconnecting our phone service, that our phone company had said that it might take a few days and that I would only be able to contact him through email. A few hours later, he had asked me back, asking how I was doing and thanking me for contacting him. He then proceeded by asking if I had cashed the check yet and if the money was in my account already. I lied. I told him yes, that the money was deposited into my account already, and the last time I checked, it was already available. He himself saw that I told him the money was available, and he proceeded to ask me three more times if I was able to cash in the check, and each time I responded yes, that I was able to cash in the check, and the money was already in my account. He responded back by saying that this was wonderful, and that he was so thankful that the ex-homeowner of the house that he had just purchased was breathing down his neck and demanding her money. Another obvious lie, since at first he told me that the payment was originally going to be for the realtor company, but now he changed his story, saying that the homeowner was the one that was going to get the money. He said that he was so thankful with my help, and that I should keep the $700 instead of the original $200, and that I'll just be transferring the $6,000 left. I agreed, and I told him how I was supposed to do the transaction if I had to meet someone to give them the payment. He then asked me if there was a Bitcoin ATM close to me. This is when everything was confirmed that this man was indeed a scammer. I lied to him, and I told him that I think there was one of those Bitcoin ATMs at a nearby gas station. He said that was great, then proceeded by telling that he was going to send a barcode, which was in reality a QR code, and that I'm supposed to go to the Bitcoin ATM and then deposit the $6,000 to that account. I told him okay, and then after that I stopped emailing him. For the next few days I was ignoring this man yet again, but he just kept on insisting and insisting, and asking if I had made the transaction already. He got so annoying to the point that I emailed him back saying that I knew he was lying since day one, and that I had already informed the police about everything he did, and that the police had confiscated the check and indeed found out it was a stolen one. I also told him that I had given the police the QR code that he had told me to use for the Bitcoin ATM, and that they'll be using that to track down the account. He didn't respond for the next couple of days, and I thought that was the end of it and that I had scared him off. Well, I couldn't have been more wrong. After a few days, the man had originally responded with an email saying that he'll deal with me. I emailed him back saying that I was going to take that as a threat, and then contacted the police yet again, then informed them that he's now threatening me. He responded back saying that the police were not going to be able to help me, that I had really messed with the wrong organization. He said that they were going to come hurt me and my children, and they were going to leave my husband crippled. He then emailed me from another email saying that if I don't deposit $1,000 to the QR code he sends me as a plea to them for our lives, he was going to come to my home and hurt us. He said this was non-negotiable, and if I valued my family's lives, I would do this immediately. Then he messaged me from a third email saying my home is being surveillanced as we speak. The last message I received from him said that my days were numbered. Here's the thing though. When he sent that last message, he didn't even use my name. He made the mistake of writing down another girl's name that starts with the same letter as mine, so this made it really hard to take him seriously. Also, the last emails he sent me weren't even written correctly. Instead of writing an actual message, he wrote the threats on the subject area, which made it even harder to take him seriously. Just to be on the safe side though, I did contact local law enforcement yet again to update them on the case I had opened. They too thought this man was all bark and no bite, so they weren't too worried about the matter. Don't get me wrong. At first reading, those messages did scare me, and I am someone concerned about them, but I feel that it was the last thing this man was trying to do just to see if he could get anything out of me. I haven't heard anything from this man in the last few days since his last email, and hopefully I won't hear from him again. Just in case he does get the audacity to actually come to my home and try and hurt my family, I will be waiting for him armed with no mercy in mind. I'm sorry, but if you come anywhere near my family with malicious intent, expect to get the full rage of a mama bear. Back in 2019, I was still getting used to my new life after relocating from a different country to now living in Canada. I was 19 at the time, working my first job at a hardware store. This part doesn't really matter, but I'm just giving some more info to explain why I did what I did, even though it was really stupid. So it's 8 p.m. and I'm just leaving for work to head home. At the time, I didn't drive yet, so I took one bus to a terminal, waited, and then took another bus to get home. It was winter time at this time, so it was pretty cold. Snow covering everything, making it really difficult to walk. If you've ever experienced a Canadian winter, you know just how much it sucks. Either way, I got my first bus and got off, and then waited at the terminal for the second one. I stayed outside by the platform just because the next bus was only about 10 minutes away. With about 2 minutes left before the bus arrives with me just listening to music, a guy then approaches me trying to talk to me. Things like this have happened before. Normally, someone just wanted to know what time the bus would be arriving, so I would take off my headphones and then listen to what they had to say. It was an older white dude who looked like he was in his late 40s or 50s, and he had an accent that I couldn't really place. It sounded slightly French. He also wasn't really dressed properly for the weather. He had a huge bag on his back and a bicycle beside him. He then goes on to tell me this sob story about how his job had some kind of banking issue, so they couldn't really send him his money for his weekly pay, but that they had paid everyone by check tonight, and with it being so late at this time, he couldn't cash it. I don't remember what reason he gave for why he couldn't. I believe that he said he left his wallet at home so he didn't have access to his ID at the time, but that he really needed this money, and he then pulled out a flip phone showing me a picture of his quote-unquote daughter. He had then asked me where do I bank, and then begs me to cash his check at the ATM. Basically deposited, and the machine will give me the amount that's listed on the check, which would actually come out of my personal bank account, but would then be returned to me once the check is no longer pending in about 3 business days. I don't know why. Maybe I'm just too nice for my own good, or I just felt bad for this guy. The whole time he's telling me that he's shaking because of the cold and he's wiping his nose. He just looked like he needed a break, and I am someone who believes in karma. Now, at this point, my bus now shows up, but the guy is now just begging me, so I just said fuck it. I mean, my bank is only maybe about 10 minutes walk from where I am, and I guess I can catch the next bus, so I told him I'd help. We walk through the snow as this guy keeps talking, trying to be very friendly towards me. Keeping the conversation going, talking about his daughter and stuff like that. Now, I'm a guy at about 6 foot, and he was maybe 5'8 at best. I wasn't really scared, but I also had a gut feeling that this was a bad idea, and I was also thinking that I should just turn around and go back to the terminal. But again, me trying to be a nice person, I stuck it out. Well, we had finally made it to the bank, and I had asked the guy to wait outside as I used the ATM. Which he agreed to. If it isn't clear yet, the check was fake. So yeah, I cashed a fake check which was worth about $500, but I was a student at the time with a student account, so the max I could get was $400. I explained that to him after I gave him the money, which he gave me a cell number and he said he'd call me then to meet up another time so he can get the last of his money the next day. If this was legit, I really would have gave him the $100. During the walk, though, I did tell the guy, though, that because of this, I had missed my bus, and after I handed him the money, he did give me $50 for a taxi. We then parted ways after that, but the whole time I'm speed walking back to the terminal and watching over my shoulder just to be safe. Also, while we were walking to the bank, I did get a chance to message a family member who I was living with, and I told them if I didn't make it home that night to call the police. That, or assume that something bad has happened to me. The rest of the night was pretty uncomfortable for me, and the whole experience just left a bad taste in my mouth. I got a taxi and made it home safely. After I explained the story to my uncle, he told me that I got scammed, and that more than likely the check will bounce and look really bad on my account, with like $400 of my own money that'll be gone. And for a broke student, that really hurt to hear after just trying to do something nice for someone, knowing that in a lot of situations, people aren't very kind to each other when they really need it the most. I did make it out of this with no harm, so that's a small price to pay, I guess. Now, after all this happened, a few days later, it really did make me think of how stupid this was and just how wrong it really could have gone. This person took me away from a public area right during the winter, making it hard to walk and to see a bank dead at night with no one around. If he really wanted to rob me or something else while my back was turned to him at the ATM, he really could have, and this could have gone so much worse. The last bit of the story simply goes as follows. I did go to the police station the next day. Funny enough, there was one right across the street from the bus terminal. I gave a statement, and the most interesting part about this is while I was doing that, there was actually another teen with his mom telling the cops a similar story. Only this time he took the other person who tried to help as well to a different bank in the area. So we all shared information hoping it would help. I'm also not sure what the guy's true intentions were. If he was just trying to get money from unaware teenagers or what. The story itself does have, I guess, a happy ending though. About a month later, I got called by the police asking to come in and give a verbal statement, which I did, explaining the story and what the guy looked like. The police officer I had spoke to was really nice, and he told me that they did actually catch the guy, and that if I wanted to take him to court, I could, but it's probably not going to be worth it in the long run, and to just be happy that nothing serious happened to me. That, and that I probably didn't want the headache of going through the process to legally try to get this guy to pay me back, which is not wrong. I didn't really have the energy to do all that. So I guess I'll just end the story with this. Regardless of whatever the situation is or the person or people involved are, if something feels off and truly wrong, nope the fuck out of that situation as quickly as possible. Trust your gut instincts. They're telling you something's wrong for a reason. Hey everyone, that's about it for today's stories. If you have your own story that you would like to send, you can send it in at southerncannibal.com. Or you can email it at southerncannibalstories@gmail.com. I look forward to telling your story. Have a good night or good day, everyone. And remember, to always...